John chapter 17, and looking at this in your Bibles, let's look at, I wanted to focus in on verses 20 to 26. I want to just read the whole chapter because it's such a very special passage. And let's do that. Please stand in honor of God's word. You follow along as I read beginning at John chapter 17, verse 1. And this does culminate all that John tells us about what happened in the upper room. John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and he looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you gave him authority over all flesh, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost, except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I pray not only for these, but also for those who hear me through their word. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. In us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me, so that they may be one, that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they will see the glory which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they know that you sent me. I will give it to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved me with may be in them and may be in them. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So, in John 17, we've got a real treasure. Because, and you no doubt picked up on this and kind of follow along with me as I read the entire chapter. This is Jesus praying. Jesus is praying to the Father, and his prayer specifically can be broken up into three major sections. You can track along with this in chapter 17, because first of all, Jesus prays for himself. Then he prays for the disciples who have joined him around that table. And then finally, he prays for those who will believe in him because of the proclamation of those disciples. So third, Jesus prays for you and me, because we are believers today. We are members of the kingdom of God because we have believed the testimony and the proclamation of those first disciples. What they preached and proclaimed found its way into God's word, and it's in God's word that we find the gospel. You are here today. You are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ because someone shared the gospel with you. The Holy Spirit opened heart. The Holy Spirit helped you to be open to the message, and then you believed. You trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, all because of the testimony and proclamation of those first disciples. So Jesus prays for himself, he prays for the disciples, and finally, he prays for you and me. John has given us a beautiful gift. He's allowed us, if you will, to kind of listen in, or eavesdrop, if you will, into Jesus praying. Praying for himself, praying for the disciples, and then praying for us. The prayer life, the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ as he prays to the Father. Oftentimes we speak of the Lord's Prayer. And if I were to say to you, what is the Lord's Prayer? Most of us would probably even say, well, that's when Jesus said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Isn't that the Lord's Prayer? Well, when his disciples asked Jesus how to pray, this was the prayer he gave them. He said, you know, when you pray, you can pray like this. And then he recites for them the Lord's Prayer. But I would argue, reverently, of course, that if you really want the Lord's Prayer, you find it in John 17. Because here, Jesus isn't necessarily giving us a pattern to follow as we pray. That's what we find over there in Matthew's gospel. Here we find Jesus himself pouring out his heart to the Father, praying for himself, praying for the disciples, and then finally praying for us. Here is the Lord's Prayer. And the question to ask this morning is, what does Jesus pray for us? You know, when he prays for himself, he's simply saying, Lord, thank you for all that you are allowing me to do for you, and thank you for the glory that you're gaining through my life and through what I'm about to undergo. Jesus is praying for himself just in mind of the crucifixion and the resurrection that is upcoming. And then when he prays for the disciples, he says, Lord, help them to be bold that they might proclaim you. And he's saying of the disciples, remind them that they are not of the world. The world hates them. But they have a message that is beyond this world. It's so much better than what this world would have to offer. Help them to be strong and faithful to proclaim the message. But when Jesus prays for you and me, what is his prayer? And let me show it to you. Look at John 17, verse 20. This is Jesus praying for you and for me. And the amazing thing is, 2,000 years ago in the upper room, with all that Jesus had that was weighing heavily upon his heart and upon his mind, and all that was weighing heavily on the disciples, so much so that Jesus would say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Even with all of that going on, Jesus prays for you and for me. And what does he pray? Look at John 17, verse 20. Here it is. John 17, verse 20. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When Jesus prays for us, when Jesus prays for believers, for Christians, Jesus simply says, may they be one. Be unified. May they be together so that the world will know that you have sent me. This is Jesus' prayer. Jesus wants believers to be together. He wants churches to be unified. He wants Christians to be able to join together and unite together in the amazing, awesome work of sharing and proclaiming the gospel. He wants the church to be one. Now, let's understand what this means. And I'll just share my heart here. Jesus is not saying that everyone has to belong to the same church. And he's not saying that there should just be one church for the entire world. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. Neither is he saying that we should set aside all of the things that make us different and unique, that we should somehow check all that at the door, that once we come to church, we should all just be kind of mindless and say the same things and repeat the same things and all do the same things. That's not what Jesus is saying. Because the awesome thing about the church is that we do come from different backgrounds, different experiences. Every single one of us has our own unique story of how we came to faith in Christ and about how the Lord opened up our heart to embrace Him. So we want to celebrate that. So what does Jesus mean when He says, Lord, I pray that they would be one, that they would be unified? What does He mean? Well, simply this. And listen, you can understand what I'm saying. There's nothing that can compare to when a church is together. There's nothing that can compare to when a church is experiencing unity and union and togetherness in the Lord. There's something special about that. There's something that is Holy Spirit blessed about that. A church is never stronger. A church is never better. A church is never more effective than when a church is one. Yes, we have different stories, different experiences, different ways that we came to faith in Christ. And again, we celebrate that. But when there is a base unity, church is never better. Now, does church always experience that? No, I don't know of any church that has been strongly united 100% of its time. I don't know of any church that ever experienced that. In fact, in the book of Acts, when you read the book of Acts, some of you have studied the book of Acts, you know this. There were times even in the early church where there were times of disunity and conflict. But what did the church do? The church worked through those differences so that they could achieve an even stronger level of unity and togetherness moving forward. So times will come, conflict will come, tension will come. But the question is, what will a church do with that? Will a church allow it to simply let it be fractured and fragmented and just kind of fall apart? Or will a church say, okay, let's step back and let's understand what are the most important things that bring us together and make us one? That is what Jesus is talking about here. So Jesus prays, and I can even say it this way, this is Jesus' prayer for Pioneer Baptist Church, as it would be His prayer for any church, that the church be unified. So let's think about this. First of all, what is the root of our unity? What is the root of our unity? Is it that we all live in the same county or town? Is it that we all kind of have similar background and experiences? Well, no, that's not the root of our unity. Jesus is at pains to say that as believers in Christ, ultimately, we are not of this world. What we bring into the church family is not of this world. It's got to be something better. It's got to transcend that. The root of our unity is in Christ. He is the one thing that all of us share in common. The one reason why all of us are here. It's because of Jesus. Jesus saved me. Jesus drew me to Himself. I trust Jesus as my Lord. He is the root of our unity and nothing else. Secondly, what is the reason for our unity? Why is this so important that we should work at it and that we should be intentional about it? Why is it so important? Well, Jesus says the reason for our unity is so that we can proclaim the gospel, the mission of God to change the world. When folks come to visit this church, when they witness and see the unity and the togetherness, this will naturally draw them in. They will want to be a part because they see a family that is together in the midst of a world that can be so fragmented and so disparate. It's the mission of God that is the reason for our unity. And how is God glorified? God is beautifully glorified when a church family drawn from so many different traditions and backgrounds and experiences, but when a church can experience unity and togetherness. What's the reason for that? What's the explanation for that? The only explanation is that God is doing it. God is doing something that only God can do, and God gets the glory. So the reason for the unity is for the mission of God and the glory of God. And then finally, what is the result of our unity? What's the result? Why should we work so hard at it? Why should it be so important to maintain and strive for? Well, let Jesus tell us. Again, John 17, verse 23. John 17, verse 23, Jesus says, I am in them, and you are in me, so that they may be made completely, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The result of our unity is love. God's love. God's redeeming, forgiving, full of grace love. And it's only that kind of love that can truly change a life, change a family, change a community, and change the world. Jesus said, for Pioneer Baptist Church, I pray that you would be one as I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful today and we thank you that John, the beloved disciple, was there in the upper room. He heard these words. He experienced what this room was like. And God, thank you that you helped him to remember these things later, that he could write them down so accurately that we would have the very words of Jesus coming through what John recorded. And God, just to see these words where Jesus would say, I pray that you would be one and that your unity would not be based on superficial things, but that it would be based on the mysterious, incredible presence of the Holy Spirit in each one of your lives, that you would be one as God was in the Son and the Son is in the Father and the Holy Spirit is in all. Lord, that we can't explain that logically, but at our best moments, we know that it's true. So we are grateful for the prayer of Jesus. But God, we also know that that prayer comes true only when we trust and believe and we say, yes, Lord, I want your will. I want your will to be done. What is your desire? What is your intent? What do you want for Pioneer Baptist Church? And God, thank you that we don't have to look far to see it. You tell us right here in John 17, I pray and I want and I desire that you be one. And God, we know that there are so many things that will happen when the church is one. And when we can set aside so many things that at the end of the day don't really matter that much, and we focus on Jesus and his lordship and the fact that he is our Savior and it's the gospel that sets us free, Lord, how many other things would happen here because we choose to focus on the most important thing. So thank you for the prayer of our Lord. And God, we commit ourselves to letting that prayer happen through us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.